Palestinian self-determination, is the solution one state or two? This is the second in a series of articles on Israel-Palestine following last month's brutal war on Gaza by the Israeli regime. It is a reprint of the last section of an article published in the June edition of Socialism Today, in which Executive Committee member Judy Beeshen outlines the Socialist Party's view on calls for a one-state solution to the national conflict, and why we instead call for two socialist states. The ongoing expansion of Jewish settlements and other Jewish-only infrastructure in East Jerusalem and the West Bank has been destroying Palestinian hopes of having their own state. The area that was designated to the Palestinians by the 1993 Oslo peace deal has been reduced and atomized, and none of the mainstream Palestinian political parties have a strategy to prevent this process. So it is not surprising that the idea of one secular or binational state has become more considered and debated. Of course, no socialist would oppose the idea of peaceful coexistence for Israeli Jews and Palestinians in one state, with equal rights and opportunities for all and no discrimination, as author and academic Ilan Pappe proposed recently in an interview in the German newspaper News Deutschland. However, the key question is how that could be arrived at, given the present existence of capitalism and the current consciousness and views on both sides of the divide. The Palestinians living under occupation don't want to live in one state with their present oppressor Israeli ruling class. Following the decades of discrimination, repression, and bloodshed, they have no confidence that they wouldn't be discriminated against, and they want self-determination in their own state. In a March 2021 Palestinian survey, while 55% saw a two-state solution as no longer practical or feasible, only 33% supported abandoning it in favor of a one-state solution. And many in that 33% do not see how a one-state situation could be arrived at. They are only too aware that Israel has one of the strongest military apparatuses in the world and a ruling class that has its base of support in the Jewish population. In addition, working-class and middle-class Israeli Jews are living in a state that was claimed to have been set up to protect their interests following terrible pogroms against Jews in Eastern Europe, and then the horrific Holocaust. Before Israel was created in 1948, Marxists had warned, including Leon Trotsky, that an Israeli state in the Middle East would not be a safe haven for Jews, but would instead be caught up in a bloody conflict. Now, 70 years after the formation of Israel, that prognosis remains tragically true. But most Israelis were born in that state, have nowhere else to go, and have their own national consciousness. Add to this a siege mentality due to being surrounded by Arab countries, and not being far from the present Iranian regime, it's clear that the national consciousness and feeling of vulnerability among Israeli Jews is strong. They, like the Palestinians, also fear being discriminated against in a one-state scenario. As Socialist Party political secretary Peter Tuff wrote in his article, Socialism and National Rights, reprinted in the June Socialism Today, if you try and impose one state on them now, it will be rejected. No capitalist solution, Pape commented in his News Deutschland interview, the two-state solution, even ideally, offers no way out of colonization or oppression. That is true on a capitalist basis. Decaying and rotten capitalism can only offer inequality along with poverty for a large layer of the population on both sides of the divide, substantially worse for the Palestinians, but poverty is also rife among Israeli Jews. A capitalist solution, that would mean trying to share out the poverty and misery at the bottom of society is no solution, and holds no attraction for either side. The proposition of two socialist states, on the other hand, raises the prospect of people's needs being met, as well as their present national aspirations. On a socialist basis, with elected representatives of working-class people in the negotiating positions, who would have no interest in profit-making, territorial influence and wealth-based prestige, agreement could be reached on all the issues that today are intractable under capitalism. These include the sharing of Jerusalem, water resources, guarantees for the rights of minorities, the right of return, and the borders. At any stage it could be agreed to dispense with a border, and that would inevitably be an eventual outcome under socialism, in a socialist world without borders, but the timing of it must be democratically decided by the people involved on both sides. The road to this massively transformed scenario will entail the building of workers' parties with socialist programs, setting both Jewish and Palestinian workers on a path towards breaking from pro-capitalist political representatives, and moving to challenge and remove capitalism altogether. Security for the Jewish population will not be achieved by military means, nor will it be achieved by looking to any of the many brands of Israeli pro-capitalist politicians for another capitalist solution. The only path towards living in peace and security, and out of the rounds of bloodshed lies in the working class on both sides of the divide organizing themselves, independent of capitalist interests, and playing a leading role in showing a way forward. Building a socialist Palestine and a socialist Israel will become part of a process of workers' movements being built across the Middle East, and turning to the same objective, the removal of capitalism. That will be the only basis for a future that can satisfy the needs and aspirations of all the peoples of the region.